Bo, Malcolm here, and welcome to Quiet Time Coaching episode 17. And just before we get into this week's episode, I want to say thank you very much to all of you who have been along for the journey with me in 2017. This is our final recording for 2017. It's a few days before Christmas, so there won't be any more this year, but I will start up again in the first week of January. Thank you for watching, for listening, and for corresponding with me. And if I can help you in any way with your personal quiet times for next year and beyond, please do drop me a line and let me know what sorts of topics and issues you'd like to see covered. But thanks again for being with me this year. Now, on to today's topic. Well, today we're talking about a very important thing: how to hear when God speaks to you today. How to hear, how to listen, how to make sure you're really hearing God's voice today. And this is on my mind because I'm studying the book of Hebrews, the Epistle to the Hebrews, as my personal quiet time material at the moment. Next year, January and February 2018, we're going to be teaching and preaching through Hebrews in the Thames Valley Churches of Christ. And I've essentially done my lesson preparation, but I want to make sure that when I'm teaching and preaching next year, I'm not just talking about stuff that I know intellectually, but that the message of Hebrews is truly in my heart and affecting my life. And so that's why I'm also looking into the book of Hebrews for my personal quiet time Bible study material and allowing that to inform my prayers. And that's the thought I have here: is how do we make sure that the text affects our prayer life? How do we know that God's really speaking to us? Well, you'll see that in the beginning of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1, it says that in the days before Jesus and in times of the Old Covenant, it was through the prophets at many times and in various ways that God spoke. He spoke through the prophets at many times and in various ways. And if you look into the Old Testament, you'll see lots of ways, some stranger than others, that God spoke. God spoke to Moses through in the burning bush in Exodus 3. He spoke to Elijah in a still small voice in 1 Kings 19. Isaiah received a vision in the temple, Isaiah 6. Hosea, perhaps one of the most challenging of all, Hosea chapter 1, through his family circumstances, which we haven't got time to go into now, but have a look at that. Amos was spoken to by God in a basket of summer fruits, Amos chapter 8. And that's not to mention God speaking in and through a donkey, a flood, a false prophet, a thunder, storms, and many other ways. God spoke in many and various ways. But in these last days now, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2, he has spoken to us by his Son. He has spoken to us by his Son. Why? Why a Son? Well, because a Son is a better communicator of a message than a messenger. The Son is the ultimate messenger because he's more than just a message. He is a representative. And Hebrews goes into that in great depth, glorious depth, which we haven't got time to look at now, but will be part of the teaching series. So that's how God speaks to us today, through the words of Jesus, the life of Jesus. In the entirety of the New Testament of God, of course, God speaks to us. But I want to look particularly today at the way in which God speaks to us in the person of his Son as revealed in the Gospels, and how this helps our Bible study and our prayer. And to do this, I just want to take one particular example from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. Let's read the passage. We won't read every single word of it right now, because there's rather a lot there, and I want to keep these podcasts to a reasonable length. But in Luke chapter 7, verse 36, we see there's one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. He went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the temple. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. And then he goes on to give the parable of the moneylender, Two people owed him money, one a lot, one a little, who will love him more. The one who had the bigger debt forgiven, verse 43, you've judged correctly. You see this woman, Simon? I came into your house, you didn't give me any water. She wet my feet with her tears, wiped with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but she's not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't pour oil on my head, she's poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, verse 47, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven loves little. Whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to mutter or say amongst themselves, who is this that even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Powerful passage, powerful example of the teaching of Jesus and the personal example of how he treats people. So that's what I want to talk about here, about the way that what Jesus says and does here can penetrate us. That his word, his message through his life and his teaching, his spoken word, how all those aspects of Jesus can penetrate our hearts and affect our lives and our prayer life as well. So what should we do? Well, I think there are three things we can do. Firstly, we need to ask the question, what do I understand about who Jesus is from what he says and what he does and what the people around him say and do in this particular passage? And you can do this with any passage where Jesus is present. What about, is it about what Jesus says and does and the people around him say and do that reveals who he is? How does that affect my understanding? So we're dealing with the understanding first, and we'll go on to talk about other things in a moment. But this understanding, these are questions, in other words, about his identity. What does it tell me about his identity? What's revealed about his deity? What's revealed about his humanity? What's revealed about his character? In this particular passage, you'd be looking for certain words like prophet, teacher, and phrases like your sins are forgiven. These all point to something important. So as you're studying a passage of scripture, you're looking at Jesus and the people around him, you're looking for key words that tell you something about the identity of Jesus, and that affects, first of all, our understanding of him. We'll begin with understanding. And secondly, the second question we need to ask is this, what do I feel? What do I feel about what Jesus said and did? And you could extend this to the other characters if there are any in the story, and there are in this case. But what do I feel about what he said and did? Now you have to use your imagination. Sometimes it does tell us how people felt and how Jesus felt, but sometimes it's more implied, and we need to put ourselves in the shoes of the people that were there at the time. So that's the key positioning we need to do with ourselves, is place ourselves in the shoes of those that were there to get at least some understanding of the feelings involved. Put yourself in other people's shoes. Really important to good Bible study. In this passage, we might ask ourselves, how might Simon be feeling at the beginning of the story when he invites Jesus, then as he sees Jesus treating the sinful woman in a certain way, then as Simon is telling the story and bringing it to a conclusion, how might Simon be feeling? How about the sinful woman? How is she feeling at the beginning? How is she feeling when the story is being told? How might she be feeling at the end when Jesus says, your faith has saved you, go in peace? How might she be feeling? Those are questions worth asking. So firstly, we're asking a question about understanding. What do I learn about Jesus, his identity? Secondly, we're asking a question about feelings, the experiences of the people in the passage, including Jesus. And thirdly, we ask this question, what do I see here that's relevant for me today? What do I see in this passage that is relevant for me today? And this prevents it becoming simply an intellectual or emotional exercise, but something that can change us, changes our relationship with God and our relationship with people in the world and how we are. So that's the question. What's relevant here for me today? Is there an attitude to avoid or an attitude to adopt? Is there or are there any actions to copy or actions to cut out of my own life? In this passage, we might be looking at avoiding self-righteousness in Simon the Pharisee. We might be wanting to adopt the kind of unconditional love that Jesus shows the woman. We may wish to think about speaking kindly to those burdened with guilt, which seems to be the case for the woman. And we might want to find in our own hearts a deep-seated gratitude for what Jesus has done for us as the woman had towards Jesus. So notice there's more than that in this passage, of course, but those are some just to make the point. Three questions to ask about understanding, about feelings, and then about our own actions and attitudes. Let's put all that together, and then when you've done your Bible study, summarize what you've learned and then put that into your prayer. And this is why sometimes doing our Bible study before our prayer can be particularly helpful, because it informs our prayers and helps us to think differently about God and about ourselves as we then go to pray. So you might want to summarize it something like this as an example from this passage. It could look something like this. So Father, and you may want to add other parts to the prayer, but I understand, and we're talking about understanding first, I understand better that than before, that Jesus was, is, and then you'd put in there, he's a prophet, but more than a prophet. He's a teacher, but more than a teacher, an expert teacher. So I'm grateful for that. That he's able to forgive sin. That's who he is. And pray about that for a while. And then about others, the feelings. Like others in this passage, I feel grateful. I feel sometimes confused about Jesus, as Simon certainly did, and the feelings involved. Loved, maybe, as I'm sure the woman did. And then helping me to think about my actions in the day ahead. Please help me to be less like Simon the Pharisee in, say, self-righteousness, and more like the woman who was grateful and felt loved, and help me to love others in the same way. Today, I can see ways to think and act more like Jesus by loving these people unconditionally, by allowing the people who feel guilty to feel accepted and acknowledged, and so on. And you pray about all that and amen at the end. So that's a way to take a passage of the Bible and to hear God speaking to you, so that then you speak to God in prayer and allow that to change you so you can be his agent in the world today. Some thoughts there about how God speaks to us more fully through his Son than ever he spoke in the past. Jesus improves our understanding. He improves our hearts. He improves our emotions, you could say, or refines them. And he improves our actions, because when we focus on Jesus, we understand the heart of God. Jesus is the full package. Are you making the most of him in your quiet times? Why not try these tips and see if they'll help you? How does God speak to us today? How does God speak to you today? Have I left anything out? I mean, I've only touched the edges of this at this point, really, but I would like to know what you think. Are these tips useful and helpful? Are there some other ways that we can make sure we hear God speak to us today? Please leave a comment wherever you hear or see this recording. We learn best when we learn in community. And if I could ask one favor, please pass the link on to these recordings to one other person. Again, thank you for being with me this year. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas, a Merry Christmas, a fantastic New Year. And I look forward to catching up in 2018. Until the next time, I hope that this week you have wonderful quiet times. God bless.